Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the show where we talk about the Akashic Records and how they affect your life, and we talk about your life. You know, it's an interesting thing for those people who have not listened before. The Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. But this is not about psychic readings. It's not about futures. It's really not even about past lives. It's about how do you feel comfortable in your skin now? How do you handle the challenges in your life now? What does your soul want you to know about the challenges you have in your life as we speak? What is written in your soul's Akashic Records that can help you live your life more fully, to actually see and understand why the challenges are where they are, and how you can release yourself from the worry, from the angst, and from the devastation of when good thing, when bad things happen to good people. You know, we all have our crosses to bear, as they say. We all have our times where we have to sit back and say, ask the universe, what is this all about? And this is happening more and more to everyone these days. And we need our tools. We need to really gather our tools that we have then that we've learned over the years to be able to surmount the events that happen that we can't explain or that we have no answer for or that happen suddenly and we say, why did that happen to me? Why am I going through this now? How did I create this? And you know, many light workers really believe, and I also believe this, that we do create our own reality. Somewhere in our records or our soul's intention for this lifetime, we have actually created a path that if we choose this, we get here. If we choose this, we get here. If we change our attitude here, we go here. There's so many different ways that we can zig and zag, if you will, during our lifetime. There are so many different ways that we can play out the maze of our life based on our free will choices. And everything is based on our free will choice. And the choices you made yesterday affect today. And the choices you make today affect tomorrow. And it's not just choices of who you marry or choices of what jobs you have. It's the choices of attitudes. It's the choices of understanding. It's the choices of curiosity. It's the choices that you have for loving. It's the choices that you have for giving. And it's the choices you have not only for giving, but for giving. And you know, it's interesting that we talk about the word forgiving. That word forgiving, if you just think about it, if you take the two words for giving, and then you put the two words together and say forgiving, they mean two entirely different things, yet they truly are the same. Take a look at that word, forgiving. When we forgive, we actually deem to give another person our blessing. So if we're deciding we want to give something to someone, we are deciding what we will give, and then we decide what, if someone's done us wrong, we decide what we are going to forgive. It's very interesting. It just actually, as we speak, is when that just came up as a way of thinking about the word forgiving. And so we really want to ask, what are we forgiving today? Who are we forgiving today? Are we forgiving ourselves? Are we forgiving those who hurt us? Are we forgiving the world or the circumstances of society for putting us where we are or where our finances are? Or are we forgiving charity? Are we forgiving our dollars to causes we believe in? Are we forgiving ourselves in something that we truly want? And so tonight I would love to hear from people who would like to talk about whatever they would like to talk about tonight. And I would like to offer you, listeners, the chance to ask your questions, and you can certainly email me those questions if you'd like. And for those people who would like to understand more about a private consultation, there is something that has come forward as a service to humanity and as a service to you, my listeners, that if you would prefer not to have your question answered on the air, if you would prefer to have your question answered in a more deep way, I have been directed to charge or set up a program, an offer, if you will, for those people who would like to have one question answered. They can do that for $33, and you can pay me via PayPal. What you would do is send your question via email with your current name, your current legal name, and your phone number. And for those people who are in the United States, I would be able to call you personally. For those people who are out of the country, what I would do is email you the answer, or email you the my telephone number if you could. So this is for one question. This is when I'm not on the air. If this is of importance to you and you'd like a more in-depth answer than what we can do on the air, because on the air I want to answer your questions, but there's a certain privacy aspect that that happens that we can go much deeper. So if that's of interest to you, please email me your question, and I will email you the information of how to pay for that. Or you can email and just say radio question. That's fine. On the air question. And you can email me those questions at info@akashicwisdom.com, just like the program. So it's info@akashicwisdom.com. So tonight, I'm welcoming your questions, welcoming to talk to you about whatever you would like to talk about tonight. The telephone number here that you can call in and talk directly to me for on the telephone, on the program at BBS Radio, you've got four different choices, and the lines are open. And it's one is 530-413-4511. Or 530-413-4515, or 530-413-4520. Or for those people in the San Francisco area, you can dial direct at 415-287-0074. So tonight first of all, before we get any further, I really want to send a deep hello and a wonderful thank you out to Ruth. Ruth lives in Scotland, and she sent me in the Highlands of Scotland, and she sent me a wonderful email telling me how she listens via the archives, and that this program has given her much insight and wisdom over the many months of downloading the archives. And which she says is, although I'm invisible to you, I wanted to let you know that your weekly talks are deeply appreciated. They're often incredibly timely, which she says, you've given me so much insight and wisdom over the many months. And so I want to send a deep hello and a deep appreciation to Ruth. When I get emails like this, I've got to tell you that it really makes my day. There are times when I'm on the air, and I truly feel like I'm talking to myself, because I know sometimes you feel, for whatever reason, you decide not to call. And so for the hour, I'm bringing forth the information from the Akasha, and I sometimes wonder if anybody's listening. And yet I get emails like this, and it's just wonderful to know that I'm reaching out and you're receiving benefit. So if there's anyone out there that would just like to email that they're receiving benefit from this program, you know, you would do a great blessing by letting me know who you are and when you're and that you're out there from whatever country. Again, Ruth is from the Highlands of Scotland, so I want to say thank you. So I just wanted to let you know that you can certainly do that, and I want to say hello to Lucita, because Lucita always sends in wonderful questions also. And I want to say hello to Lori and all my wonderful Nikki, if she's listening. And so Lucita sent in some questions. Interestingly enough, we were talking about masters last week, and the question I asked, I don't know sure if I asked or she's asking this question, is that what would have to happen to become a master? And she, what she says is, Jesus and other adepts are considered masters. How do they become masters? In modern time, this word master relates to the educational system, master's degree from universities. And those with this degree are recognized by our world. Yet the kind of master Jesus was very different. And so she wants to have a little bit more discussion about the subject of how to become a master. And, you know, another student and friend of mine had mentioned that she would like to see me write a blog of messages from the Akasha for other masters. And, you know, I believe, and I've been told by the Akashic Records, masters, teachers, and loved ones, that each human being that comes into this lifetime, comes into body, especially in these times, has the kernel, seed of mastership within them. And the mastership has to do with how we choose to live our life and what we feel in control of. And this is not about control of other people. This is not about control control in a negative way. It's about feeling the control of our life in a way that helps us understand that we have choices, and that we make our choices every day to live the optimum life that we can as each day goes by. And so for some, it's a matter of choosing just to get up in the morning, just to get out of bed. And I understand that some people suffer great depression. And sometimes just the choice to wake up, just the choice to brush your teeth and comb your hair can be sometimes painful. And I also understand that there are other people who feel they have so many choices they feel overwhelmed. And then there's others who feel that they're out of control and they don't have the choices to be able to feel like they are directing their lives. They feel that outside sources or outside energies or powers are directing their lives, and they feel out of control. And so then there's others that I haven't even mentioned an example of. But what's important is for all of us to create a game plan where we feel and can feel successful in feeling control of portions of our lives. Now, granted, there are things that happen that we cannot control. For those people who know that, you know, my husband passed away about 7 weeks ago. And I didn't have control over when he passed. I didn't have control over the fact that he passed. But I do have control over the attitude that I have. And I do have control of what I do with my life now that he has gone. I have control over that. And every single one of you out there that has lost a loved one, it is very important that you take this opportunity to honor that loved one by having a fulfilling life. That loved one that has passed did not and does not want you to put one foot in the grave with them. They want you to live a full life. They want to be remembered, but they do not want to be mourned. It is time for you to wake up and live your life in a way that is meaningful, that honors the memory of those who have gone beyond. And by honoring the memory, what you do is you honor yourself and the relationship you had with that person. Whether the relationship was good, whether it wasn't good, whatever the situation is, it's no longer okay to be a victim. It's no longer okay to blame anyone else for your lot in life. It is time for you to take back the control, to take back your life, to step in to the power that is yours. And I understand that sometimes that can be a challenge. This does not have to be an all or nothing situation. What the record keepers are saying is for those people who feel out of control, it is absolutely key that you take control of one part of your life. It could be making different choices about what you eat. It could be making choices about how much television you watch. How much book, you know, it could be a choice of instead of watching television, it could be you're going to watch television for an hour and read for an hour. It could be that you're going to watch television for an hour and walk for 10 minutes. But the idea here, it's about you making those choices. You moving in to the power that you have and allowing yourself to understand that you are much more than you ever give yourself credit for. So I really want you to think about where you can take control of your life today and where you can continue to take control of your life tomorrow, and allow it to build and allow yourself to feel good about where you're taking control and where you're feeling powerful in your life. And again, this is not a negative power. This is about power about feeling good about yourself. It's about dispelling all those beliefs or all those notions that were given to you as a child. And you know, many times we receive negative messages, not just from our parents, but from our brothers and our sisters. And we have to look back at the types of messages that were given to us when we were very little. Let's say you shared a room with a sibling, and they were older. And that sibling would tell you every night that you were stupid. But your parents were very loving, and they were very supportive, and they were very helpful. But yet you have grown up think there's something wrong with you. I want you to think back about where that belief came from. Whose voice do you hear when you're feeling less than? Just think about that voice and try to uncover whose voice it was. And realize it was only their opinion and it had nothing to do with truth. So you want to really think about that. Just think about that. So I'd love to talk to someone, whoever would like to speak to you, speak tonight. So again, I'm going to give you those numbers, 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520 or 415-287-0074. So be sure, and you can email me again at info@akashicwisdom.com. Okay, now we're talking about how does one become a master? And we're talking about how to take control. And what's come to me tonight is I've talked about this before, but I'm really drawn to talk about prayer. Really, really drawn to talk about your deepening your connection with the divine. Now, if you remember, last week we talked about going over how you can deepen your connection with the divine. And so there's a workbook that I actually, and a whole workshop that I have created about deepening your connection with the divine. And there are many ways to do that, and we're going to talk about some of them right now. But I've been, before we get into the actual work of deepening your connection with the divine, I want to bring your attention to the prayer of Jabez. This is such a powerful prayer, and it can so deeply connect you with your power and your connection with the divine and your connection with manifestation. And so I'm going to read the prayer to you again. And I want you to feel, I want you just to take a deep breath. And get quiet. And then I want you just to feel the power of this prayer. So getting comfortable. And connecting with that which is most sacred within you. And allowing yourself to just move into a very sacred space. And now I want you to listen with every fiber of your being. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And allow that to move through your body. Let me just say it one more time. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So what does Jabez really mean? That it keeps him from evil, that he might not cause pain? I want you to just understand that there are many times our belief systems are what create the evil that we have. And that we cause pain in many cases to ourselves. Yeah. So we don't want to cause pain to ourselves by our belief systems that no longer serve us. Now, what I'm going to be doing now is talking to you about this deepening connection to the divine workbook. Again, you can purchase a copy of this workbook for $39, and that would be again, you could receive this workbook and the meditations that go with it. And what I would suggest is that you that would be a PayPal. But I'm going to talk about the workbook now, and you can move into that light and see if that's something that would be important to you. But you have to understand that deepening your connection to the divine is about relationships. It's about your relationship with yourself, your higher self and God, and the basic tenets of building a good relationship with anyone, including yourself, definitely apply here. So when I speak of God or the divine or spirit, I'm talking about the driving force in the universe, the universal energy of good, of love, and of God. And the four steps to deepening your connection to the divine apply to deepening your connection with yourself and to your relationship with your loved ones as well. Those four steps are discovering or redefining joy and abundance. Number two, appreciation and gratitude. Number three, forgiveness. And number four, self-love, which is the true divine connection. So, how can we deepen our connection with the divine? Well, first of all, let's take a look at what blocks our connection. And the first thing that comes up that blocks our connection is fear. You know, fear prevents us from being all that we can be. We have fears of love, of responsibility, of intimacy. We have fears of being wrong or failing, or even of being a success. And many more. So our individual fear has its own, so let me just rephrase that. Each individual fear has its own core belief, and each core belief has a corresponding lesson. And we have to understand that even though I don't like to use the word lesson, but in this case it's important to understand that we choose our experiences, and these quote-unquote lessons have been chosen for the growth of our soul. And what that means is the growth of our soul has to do with the expansion of our spirit. It has the idea that the more we experience in various situations, whether it's being a human on planet Earth or living on Sirius or being in the 12th dimension, I mean, there's various ways for us to expand our growth and the growth of our soul. But here on planet Earth, we are dealing with two emotions. And if I'm sure this is probably very familiar to some of you, but the two emotions are love and fear. Love and fear. If you're not in love, and you're not working from a loving place, you're working from a fearful place. Notice that lack is another part of fear. Notice that hate is also a part of fear. So there's two emotions, love and fear, and the various expressions or experiences we have, again, they're called lessons, help us expand our knowledge of experience so that we can actually not only grow as humans, so as to be examples to other humans, but also that we can grow with the expansion of our own souls. And the reason I don't like to use the word lessons, although in this case it calls for it, is because lessons, the word lesson assumes that you didn't know before you had the experience. And that is a bit of a misnomer, because it's really more about choices that create the experiences. Now, if you'll remember, one of the things the record keepers have said is that there are no victims and there are no perpetrators. There are only experiences and observations. Everything else is choice. And so what's important here is to, that's why we started out talking about choices today, and the choices that you have to move into your own power. So what we want to do is we want to become aware of the fears. I'm going to go back to that, of the fears and the learning that it happens with those fears. Because those understanding what those fears are, okay, can be very important. And it is definitely essential to developing your conscious connection to the divine. Now, what we also want to know is that the deeper we feel connected to the divine is the way to clear these fears and learn the particular lesson, you know, with our communication with the divine. Now, some of you folks I know feel that you have a hard time communicating with the divine. And so what's important is that you move into communicating with yourself. And as I've said, it's very interesting because, you know, like I told you, I talk for an hour, and if no one calls, I feel like I'm talking to myself. And I know that that's very much the way you feel when you're praying and you feel that you haven't, that you're not getting an answer, or for whatever reason you don't feel quote-unquote connected. And I want you also to know that it's not your, that you're never not connected. In other words, you're always connected. It's our perception of whether or not we're connected that bothers us, or that we feel we're not worthy of the connection. So right there, feeling not worthy is a fear of not being good enough. And so what we want to do is explore that fear of not being good enough. So as we said before, fear stems from a core belief. However, you know, fear also is a habit. And in many cases, fear can actually feel safe because it's a known emotion. However, we can shift that because love is the same way. Love can also be a habit, the same way loving can be a habit. And consciously connecting with love clears the habit of fear. And part of love is faith. And part of love is trust. So notice again, if you have a situation where you have a lack of trust, you're fearful that someone's not being honest with you straight, or that it's not good for you. There's a fear there. So just notice that. But like we said, when you can connect with the love that is within you, remember we all have that spark, you can actually clear the habit of fear. Now, I want to talk to you about how that can be done. A commitment to bring the love of the divine into your heart makes the love more available to you and others. And remember, we were talking about choices earlier. Choices of how we can make things, how we can feel more control in our life. One of the choices that we can make is a commitment to bring the love of the divine into your heart and make more love available to you and others. And you may want to start small, with baby steps. That's okay. But notice when you open your heart to more love, all right, you feel more peace. And peace actually can be learned this way, too. So notice that you choose the love, then you find peace. And when you choose the peace and love, you also become more intimate with the divine. One of the blocks to this that is that we often don't feel connected and we just don't know why. We feel blocked or not good enough, weary, confused, and we just don't know why. So I want you to think back, and this is not about blaming your parents, but I want you to think back about your self-talk. And I want you to think back of whenever you heard your parent or a teacher or a sibling say, "What is the matter with you?" Or, "Who do you think you are?" Or, "Don't be stupid." Or, "What are you, stupid?" Or, "If you do that again, I'm going to kill you." Or, "I don't care how you feel." Or, "I'll give you a reason to cry." You know, you see, those types of comments put doubt in a child's mind as to who they are and to their worth. And when you hear enough of it, it creates a distance. So it's really about thinking back on those things and then noticing that you can neutralize those. Okay? You can neutralize those. Now, we want to think about how you can neutralize them. Now, I want you to think back also and just imagine, all right, that when you were a child, you came in with a clean slate, clear as newly fallen snow. And we didn't come in with any belief systems. We were taught what to believe about the truth, about ourselves and about our lives, and about how we live our life, and about the world, and about trust, and about love, and in particular, about right and wrong. We're also taught about God, and what God wants and expects from us, and what will happen if we do it right, or God forbid, if we do it wrong. And so those are all the things that have combined to help you feel out of control. So what I want you to do is start journaling out where your negative thoughts have come. Okay? And then I want you to really look at whether or not you feel they are true. And the only way you can allow yourself to feel they're true is by backing them up with real evidence. So you have to back it up with real evidence. Okay? So, let's talk about how to shift this. Okay. Now, once you get those beliefs down, you also have to start working with your definitions of things and your definition of peace and your definition of love and your definition of freedom. Very important, your definition of freedom. What does freedom mean to you? And where in your life don't you feel free? Where do you feel constricted? So I would also like you to redefine the word joy and write down what they mean to you. I mean, is joy only happiness and contentment? Does the element of peace enter into your definition of joy? Really look at what joy means to you. And then look at the word abundance. Is abundance only about being wealthy? Or is it about owning your own company, or having all the time that you want to do whatever you want to do, or having enough money so you can do whatever you want to do anytime you want to do it? Is abundance only about money? How do you define abundance? And when you list it, you will discover, okay, that some of those core beliefs come out in your definitions. Because they're intertwined, they surface. So I really would like you to think about that. So there are other steps we're going to, you know, continue on here. But I'd like to really discuss this with someone. So if somebody would like to call in and ask some questions about deepening their connection with the divine or other questions they had about life, that would be great. Calling into the radio is free. You don't have to pay for calling in for the questions here. So if you would like to call in and ask a question about your life and about how your life works, or if you'd like to just email a radio question, you certainly can. If you want to call in for a question, it's 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515, or you can call 530-413-4520, or you can call 415-287-0074, or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, just like the show, akashicwisdom.com. So, back to our work. Okay. Just give me a minute here. One of the things that is important for you to understand when you're talking about abundance and joy is that you can have abundance and not be joyful. However, it is hard to be joyful and not be abundant because abundance is in the mind and the heart of the beholder, the same way beauty is. So I'd like to do a short exercise here, a little close exercise. I'd like you to get comfortable in your chair. Close your eyes, take a nice deep breath. Oh, hello, we've got a caller, so we'll do that in a minute. Hi there.
Hi, hello. Donna. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me? This is Lucita.
Hi, Lucita.
Hi. Were you going to do a meditation? Do you want me to?
Yeah, but that's okay. We can do it in a minute. That's okay.
Okay. All right. I just want to ask again about what has to happen to become a step into mastery.
Okay.
And because I'm really just stumped on that question, and And I guess I just want to go and be courageous and ask, what is it that I need to do? What needs to happen with myself to step into that?
Your mastery?
Into my own mastery, yeah.
I think that's a great question. And what we want to understand is, how can Lucita step into her own mastership? Well, part of what's going on here, Lucita, is it has to do with you giving yourself credit for what you do well.
Okay.
And really owning, really owning the fact that you're a healer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when a person really owns and claims the idea of being a healer, it's mm-hmm. not being a healer from an ego point of view.
Right.
It's about owning the partnership with the divine that creates the healing in your client.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can partner with the divine to effect a healing for an animal,
mm-hmm.
like you do,
mm-hmm.
what the core issue here is what you believe stops you from claiming your divinity in partnership with the divine and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing that comes to your mind in answer to that question?
What stops me from claiming that?
Say again?
I'm asking myself, what stops me from claiming
right.
that?
Right.
I'm thinking that it's just being comfortable with that attention on me, that kind of the spotlight. That's my initial. It's a tough question.
I know.
Yeah, it's a definitely tough question. It my heart's trying to answer it.
Don't let your head try to answer it. Although the head has a lot of information of negativity about why, you may want to listen.
Oh, okay.
So what is your head telling you?
Criticism.
Yeah, you know, you're afraid of being wrong.
Yeah.
If you were to step into your greatness or step into your mastership or your partnership from yourself and you don't like attention, the reason you don't want to get the attention is because you're afraid of being wrong.
Yeah. And I've been given enough examples of where I have been right. And,
right.
It's over and over, and kind of like testing the whole process
uh-huh.
over and over again, and know that it's true. I do know what I know the answers that I need to know. Okay. That's pretty good.
So the piece here is just from a personal point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The personal point of view is that without anybody seeing you,
mm-hmm.
there's a core issue here that there's a part of you that doesn't believe that you can connect to the divine, like by yourself or for quote unquote no reason. Does that make sense to you?
Not completely.
Because you talk to your guidance all the time, and you get good guidance.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. And I do talk to them all the time. I think there's some kind of belief that I have that I'm not as a clarity isn't as strong as I want it or believe I want it to be. But you know, in saying that, it seems that it's just a matter of embracing that it is. And,
right.
And it will be.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like on the hot seat.
Right. Good. It's not about putting you in the hot seat, it's about putting you in the love seat.
Yeah.
See,
that would
the
idea.
That
would be a better place, better seat to be sitting in.
Yeah. It's about how do I open my heart to love?
Another thing that comes to my mind is the this pressure of expectations and of outcomes and it's been very helpful to hear in prior shows that that the outcome is between the divine and the animal and the owner. So some of that keeps me, I feel like I play a timid role.
A what?
A timid role in interaction sometimes.
Why is that?
I think it's a reluctance or a fear of speaking what I know and what I hear and what I and that's part of the mastery that I have.
Are you saying that you're afraid to tell the owner what you're hearing about the animal?
Yeah. Yes, and I actually got lectured from a client that they wanted me to speak stronger and clearer and more sure because she valued what I said. And so, yeah. That was kind of cute.
But she was actually challenging you to step into your power, right? Your mastership.
Mm-hmm. She was. She was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've had some interesting interactions.
Yeah. So the idea here is that what you're dealing with then is, if you bring it all down, is that your fear of being wrong.
Yeah.
How do you fix that?
Yeah, how does one overcome the fear of being wrong?
Well, the idea, first of all, is that when you're working with yourself or you're working with an animal, it really has a lot to do with trust.
Yeah.
So it's really about measuring your level of trust. There was a very strong trust factor when it comes to working with an animal because you feel you're in total communication with that animal, correct?
Yes.
And you trust that what you're hearing is true, correct?
Yes.
Well, that's where you're stepping into your magnificence.
Mm-hmm.
So the question you have to ask yourself is, why would it be different if I'm speaking with the divine about opposed to working with the divine and an animal?
Oh. Yeah.
And so that's what you have to keep asking yourself.
Uh-huh.
Is where is the truth of my trust of the divine? And why do you believe that your communication would be off in talking to your talking about yourself opposed to healing?
Mm-hmm.
So answer that. Can you answer that question?
Ask it, please.
Why do you feel that your communication with yourself and the divine would be different than your communication with yourself and the divine and the animal?
Why would it be different? Probably because I'm, you know, there's a physical presence with the animal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just not, it's kind of maybe seeing and believing type of thing.
So you're with the animal and you see the animal heal, so that's why you trust it.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, that's what came to my mind anyways.
Okay.
But I'm also thinking that, it could be just, a belief that really isn't, that I may have that, isn't really true.
So if you had an animal, or you had a client that had that belief of mm-hmm. something that wasn't really true, what would you tell them?
if I had a client that had the same belief that I did?
Yeah.
that's funny because I think I have. That it's all connected, and it's like what I what we see and we feel is part of the divine. So if I'm seeing it through the animal, it's all equal. I have to say that verbalizing it. It's so many times I just feel things, and so when I have to put it into words, it definitely becomes a challenge. To me, it's like I feel it. So, and what I feel is true. I think that's where I get. It is just difficult for me to explain it to the client as clearly as I see it and I feel it. But when they have difficulty, that's where I kind of rely on the results and the observations of the client to see and
uh-huh.
feel. What's happening? I think that's kind of like part of stepping into this mastery is really being able to verbalize exactly what I am seeing and feeling, and so I think that's probably one reason I have not trusting or having that or believing I have don't have that that strong communication with the divine. as I do with the animals. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Well, the deal, we have to close the show, but what I want to tell you is it's really going to be important for you to start journaling your information with your connection with the divine, and then come back and read it after a few days.
Okay.
And then see how profound it is.
Okay.
All right. You need to start doing that, and then we can work with it from a. But you have to first take a look at that.
Okay. I will.
All right. I have to close the show now, Lucita. I thank you so much for your support, and thank you for your questions, and I so appreciate your listening. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Great. It's great to hear you. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. All right, folks. Well, it's time for us to close the show. So I want you to, and just want to make a comment that, you know, I still have space in that class for next weekend, level one. And I've got folks coming from Hawaii, from Atlanta, from Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a great class. So if you want to learn about how to open your own personal Akashic records, please give me a call or email me. And I love you, and we're going to close the record. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of this Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Have a miracle-filled week. I love you all, and we will talk next week. Bye-bye.